Shila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Shri Rupa Shri Sanatana Bhattaraganath Shri Jiva Gopala Bhattadas Raganath Shad Goswami Prabhu ki jai. Prem Sago Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakti Vrinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavandam ki jai. Maipur Navadutam ki jai. Jagannath Puridam ki jai. New Dorkadam ki jai. Gangamai ki jai. Jamunamai ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tosi Maharani ki jai. Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Yoga Dharma Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Brihat Madanga Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai. Sama Veta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gora Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled The Status Quo, Chapter 9, entitled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy. Today we will be doing text 29. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ma Veda Garbha Gastantrim Sarga Udyamam Avaha Tunmaya paritam yagre Yanmam prartha yate bhavan Shri Bhagavan uvacha Ma veda garbhagas tantrim Sarga udyamam avaha Tunmaya paritam yagre Yanmam prarthayate bhavan. Please chant. Shri Bhagavan. Mataji's, please. Okay, word for word translation. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Lord, the personality of God, had said, Ma, do not. Vedagarbha, O you who have the depth of all Vedic wisdom. Gatantrim, become dejected. Sarge, for creation. Udyamam, enterprises. Abha, you just undertake. Tat, that which you want. Maya, by me. Apaditam, executed. He, certainly. Agre, previously. Yet, which. Mam, from me. Prarthayate, begging. Bhavan, you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of God had then said, O Brahma, O depth of Vedic wisdom, be neither depressed nor anxious about the execution of creation. What you are begging from me has already been granted before. Purport. Any person authorized by either the Lord or His or by His bona fide representative is always blessed, as is the work entrusted to him. Of course, the person entrusted with such a responsibility should always be aware of his incapability and must always look for the mercy of the Lord for the successful execution of his duty. One should not be puffed up because he is entrusted with certain executive work. Fortunate is he who is so entrusted, and if he is always fixed in the sense of being subordinate to the will of the Supreme, he is sure to come out successful in the discharge of his work. Arjuna was entrusted with the work of fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And before he was so entrusted, the Lord had already arranged for his victory. But Arjuna was always conscious of his position as subordinate to the Lord, and thus he accepted him as the supreme guide in his responsibility. Anyone who takes pride in doing responsible work but does not give credit to the Supreme Lord, is certainly falsely proud and cannot execute anything nicely. Brahma and persons in the line of his disciplic succession who follow in his footsteps are always successful in the discharge of loving transcendental service to the Supreme Lord. Om Ganatamindasya Gananjana Shalakoya Chakshu Unmidatamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Translation one more time. The Supreme Personality of Godhead then said, O Brahma, O depth of Vedic wisdom, be neither depressed nor anxious about the execution of creation. What you are begging from me has already been granted before. Hare Krishna. Vanchakalpaturivishcha kripasindubi evacha patitanam bhavani bhyo vaishnavim bhyo namo namaha. So this is the ninth chapter of the third canto, Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is speaking here. He's speaking to Brahma. He's calling Brahma, O depth of Vedic wisdom. And he's telling him, be neither depressed nor anxious about the execution of creation. What you are begging from me has already been granted before. So how has it already been granted before? We know that the universe exists within cycles. First of all, we have the total devastation where the whole universe is destroyed and Lord Brahma leaves his body. And then at a certain time, the universe is created again when another living entity comes in the post of Lord Brahma and creates the universe again. In that sense, it's been granted before, and in the sense that in every day of Lord Brahma, when Lord Brahma goes to sleep, half the universe, more or less, is destroyed, and when he awakens from his sleep, he has to create again. And from there, he's empowered by the Lord to again create. So there's total devastation, and there's partial devastation, and then there's subsequent creations. So in a few verses ago, text 25, something very similar. Lord Brahma is actually praying to the Lord to please uplift the entire cosmic creation and remove our dejection. Dejection means like low spirits or depression, by kindly speaking your directions. And similarly, in the last verse we read, text 27 and 28, the Lord saw that Brahma was very anxious about the planning and construction of the different planetary systems and was depressed upon seeing the devastating water. He could understand the intention of Brahma, and thus he spoke in deep, thoughtful words, removing all illusion that had arisen. And in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that Brahma was perturbed at seeing the tremendous water, the devastating water of the universe. And he also mentions that none of us can comprehend how difficult Lord Brahma's duty actually was. It was very difficult. And only by the empowerment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead was he able to perform that task. So while I was reading this, I was trying to think, how does this apply to us? How does this apply in our lives? Obviously, we're not Lord Brahma right now, so we don't have the task in front of us to create the universe. We more or less have it pretty easy compared to Lord Brahma. And we see Lord Brahma, he lives for 100 years of his calculation, which is trillions of years of our calculation. And every day he performs the same activity. He creates. You know, whatever part of the universe was destroyed, he recreates. And he does this every single day for 100 years. So how steady Lord Brahma is very inspiring, to do the same thing every single day. And that was his duty, that was his service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He never got mental about it. He's a pure devotee, and he understood, as we read here in the purport, that Brahma was not puffed up. He was humble. And Prabhupada is saying in this verse today that Krishna does not like when his devotees become puffed up. We should understand that any service we're doing for him, first of all, he's giving us the service, the opportunity for service. He doesn't need our service. He could do everything himself. If he wanted, he could create the universe. But he's giving an opportunity to a devotee or someone to perform service for him for that living entity's benefit. Ultimately, Krishna doesn't need our service. Krishna could be sitting on the Vyasasan right now speaking. He'd speak infinitely better than any of us. But he's giving us the opportunity to speak about the Bhagavatam for our own purification. He doesn't need us to worship him in his deity form. He's self-sufficient. He's always satisfied. He's completely happy. But he's giving us that opportunity, and he's empowering us to do so. Without his will, we can't even remember our name. We can't speak. We can't walk. We can't breathe. So in that sense, if we're ever puffed up and we're ever proud of our service, we should understand this is complete illusion. This is Maya. But the tendency is to become puffed up because we are conditioned souls and we're here in this material world to try to imitate the Supreme Controller and the Supreme Enjoyer. So at least we can catch ourselves with our intelligence as aspiring Vaishnavas, understand, okay, I am conditioned. Don't be completely devastated if pride or lust or anger comes into the picture. Just know that it is going to happen. We have a material body. We have a false ego. But don't entertain the thoughts. Don't entertain the thoughts of pride or lust. Understand that this is a contamination. It's an anartha. And pray to the Supreme Lord to become free from that anartha. And we also have a duty, just as Lord Brahma has a duty to fulfill of creating the universe. We have to wake up every morning for the morning program. We have to chant our rounds attentively as much as possible, at least 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, read Srila Prabhupada's books. This is something that we are to do every single day. And as Lord Brahma performed his duty every day for 100 years, for the remainder of our lives, we have to at least perform that minimum duty that Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas have given us. And sometimes it could be overwhelming, just as Lord Brahma was overwhelmed and he felt depressed at one point. It may be a bit overwhelming sometimes just to follow the basic rules and regulations. Sometimes material desires can be overwhelming. I remember as a new bhakta, sometimes material desires were so powerful that I was thinking, how is it even possible to go on? How am I actually going to continue following the regular principles and chanting and waking up early and just living, trying to live a sattvic lifestyle? How is it even possible in my condition? But the Supreme Personality, Godhead, in His form of Lord Chaitanya, has given us this Sankirtan Yajna, this chanting of the holy names, which purifies our heart and allows us to become steady, nishta. Krishna says, have no fear, sarva dharma prityaja mam ekam shadanam vraja ham tvam, how's it go? Papibhyo moksha yashami mashujaha. That don't have any fear. If you perform devotional service, if you surrender to Krishna, He frees you from sinful reactions. There's no need to be in anxiety or depressed. But sometimes, even as we're performing devotional service, we may be so overwhelmed by the amount of service we have to do. And we have to, depending on the service, sometimes we have to be on time, we have to be punctual, we have to deal with so many people and with the speak of our own minds. And people are depending on us a lot of the times. So this can also bring about stress and anxiety. And it may seem contradictory because the temples that Srila Prabhupada has established are embassies of the spiritual world. They're non-different from Vaikuntha. And Kunta means anxiety. And when we say Vaikuntha, it means free from anxiety. So how is it that if we're living in Vaikuntha, we're full of anxiety? But actually it means free from material anxiety. We're switching our anxiety. Like you see the pure devotees in the spiritual world, they're full of anxiety. Mother Yashoda, we just were in the month of Damodar, Mother Yashoda was in so much anxiety to serve Krishna. She was actually always stressed out, trying to make sure Krishna was safe and that he was growing up to be a nice young boy. So she was very stressed. So we see that even the pure devotees, they have this transcendental anxiety. So we're just switching our anxiety from the spiritual world to from the material world to the spiritual world. And I have one experience, I've had many experiences with, feeling anxiety in devotional service, but one stands out in my mind as very prominent. This happened maybe like 2015 or 16. We went to a music festival, myself, Srinitai Prabhu, and Bhakta Gus. They used to be brahmacharis here. And we went to a festival called Symbiosis. And these festivals, people camp out there for 3 or 4 days, and they listen to electronic music, and they take a bunch of drugs, and it's basically they break all the four regs as much as possible in those 4 days. And so we're there distributing books because it's kind of like a hippie event, so people are kind of favorable to spiritual life. But we get there, and it's anxiety just to get in there because we kind of have to sneak in there. I won't tell all the details of that, but that's also anxiety. But we get in there and there's just like tons of people. There's got to be at least 10,000, maybe even 15,000 people. It's one of the really big ones in California. And so we park at night, we go to bed. As we're sleeping, there's electronic techno music going on all night. You have to wear earmuffs and the van is literally shaking from the sound vibration. But you have to put on earmuffs to fall asleep. We wake up, we do our morning sadhana, and by like 9 or 10 o'clock, we divide the whole festival into sections, so all of us have like a section to work. So we divide it into three sections, and then we're basically just off on our own for the rest of the day until we come back in the evening. And so I'm going to my section, and you know, we were all kind of new devotees. I moved in here in 2012, so I was maybe devotee for like 3 or 4 years, and they were even newer. So I was considered like the, you know, the party leader, even though I was still a new devotee. So I felt like I had to kind of inspire them in some way, or like show by a good example, because they were new for traveling Sankirtan. So I kind of had that responsibility. So I didn't want to just completely bum out altogether. We paid money to get in there. We paid one ticket, and basically the other two sneak in. So it's like a couple $100 to get in there. So I paid a couple $100 of the temple money, and then I have these two new bhaktas that I have to kind of like show a good example for. And then I have social anxiety sometimes if I'm around a lot of people. So the social anxiety was very intense. And there, like I said, there's thousands of people, and they're all partying and having a good time. So I was basically in Maya, and I didn't know what to do. I was kind of bewildered. I was wearing karmic clothes because you have to sneak around. You can't get caught there. So I called Bhrigupati Prabhu for some inspiration, and I told him, Prabhu, I'm in Maya. I have a lot of social anxiety. I have a bag full of books, but I'm scared to approach people. Can you please like preach to me for like 2 minutes? So he starts reading the Bhagavad Gita a little bit. It kind of helped out a little bit. But so I was just, I had my backpack. I was going to the area I was supposed to distribute, and I didn't distribute. I just started walking along all the campsites. And as I was walking, this is a true story, I'm not kidding. As I was walking, someone came up to me and said, Hare Krishna, it's good to see you. We're happy to see you here. I said, okay, Hare Krishna. And then he walked away. And then not even 10 seconds later, and these two guys that I'm about to mention, that first guy and this second guy, they did not know each other. They were separate people. So the first guy said Hare Krishna, then walked away. Then literally not even 10 seconds later, another guy came up to me and he said, Are you Hare Krishna? Are you a devotee? And I said, yeah, how'd you know? And he said, I can tell when you guys are walking around with your backpacks and your necklace. And he said that I got a book at this same festival a few years ago, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Can I show you my ashram? And I said, yeah, sure. And I was a little bit bewildered. So he took me to his van, and he opened his van. He had a big poster of Srila Prabhupada. He had all the books. He had the whole Bhagavatam set. He had japa beads, kartals, mrdanga. It was very devotional. And he said, ever since I read that book, you know, I've been chanting, and I listened to Srila Prabhupada. Then he started quoting the Krishna book, something that he recently read about how the living entity goes through different stages of, he's born, he grows, he produces offspring, he dwindles, and he dies. And he starts talking about that a little bit. So he's actually reading the books. And he said, you know, I've been involved in this festival scene for like 10 or 20 years, and I'm getting sick of it. You know, people just do a bunch of drugs, and I'm trying to chant Hare Krishna, but you know, somehow or another, because of bad association, I'm here again, but I'm very happy to see you. His name is Mark Stark. He's from Canada. So I was in contact with him for some time, and he goes to the temple out there in Canada. But after that, I felt like that was Krishna just kind of giving me some inspiration that, okay, these books are very valuable. It made a devotee here at the same festival. And from that, I was inspired, I was enthused, and I distributed a lot of books that weekend. So that's just an example in my life how I was dejected and I was depressed, like Lord Brahma was, a little bit bewildered. But Krishna inspired him from within and gave him the empowerment to perform his devotional service of universal creation. So we can maybe see that in our own lives and different circumstances of that happening. And there's much evidence that we know Lord Chaitanya came, as you know, with the Pancha Tattva, and Lord Chaitanya is considered the most merciful incarnation. But who's more merciful than Lord Chaitanya is said to be Lord Nityananda. He is actually giving out love of God to anybody and everyone, and whoever is just willing to accept it. But in a purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada states that by the will of the Lord, one can even perform greater service than Lord Nityananda. It's actually in a purport. And we see that our founder, Acharya, he spread the Hare Krishna movement all over the world. Of course, he wasn't talking about himself as a humble Vaishnava, but we could just see practically Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they preached around India, but Srila Prabhupada took it to the whole world. And this is just one example out of many, how Krishna will empower his pure devotee to do even greater things than he himself. Because Krishna's greatest desire, is what makes him the most happy, is to see his pure devotee successful in the execution of performing his service. So, in the same way, Srila Prabhupada has given us this opportunity to do great service, just as Lord Brahma here does great service for the universe. The whole universe is meant primarily to help the living entities come back home, back to Godhead. So Jiva Goswami, in one place, he says that this universe exists for two reasons: for the perfection of the sadhaka and to spread the Sankirtan movement. So we see that everything in our lives can actually be beneficial. There is no such thing as a disadvantageous situation. If we see through the eyes of Shastra, the eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Tate nukampam susumikshamano banjaname vatma kritam vipakam hritvag vapur vir vidiram namaste jivete yomukti padesadayabak. That the devotee, no matter what happens in their life, if they see this as an opportunity to take more shelter of Krishna, to go deeper in my devotional service, then everything's actually a favorable situation. And to think that we're the victim, or it's someone else's fault, or it's the world's fault, or it's God's fault, this is not the right mentality. This is victim consciousness. We're actually never the victim. We are actually always the person who is being benefited, because Krishna is ever so kind and wants to benefit every living entity. Prabhupada states here in this purport that one should not become puffed up. Even though Krishna may empower us, we should understand, okay, it wasn't my doing. I desired to serve Krishna and he gave me the opportunity and then he empowered me to do so. And I'll just read exactly what he says. Anyone who takes pride in doing responsible work but does not give credit to the Supreme Lord is certainly falsely proud and cannot execute anything. So we see this with even the topmost devotees, the gopis of Vrindavan. When they were dancing with Krishna, they became a little proud, and Krishna actually left their presence just to show us, to show the sadhakas, that even the topmost devotees, if they become a little bit proud that Krishna is dancing with me alone, then Krishna can leave our association. And I heard this one story by my godbrother Parameshwar Prabhu about how he was distributing books. I think it was here in LAX. And there is this devotee that came along. He was like a guest devotee, and I guess he distributed books years ago, but he was coming to kind of just partake in the day's activity. And he saw that one devotee was struggling. He couldn't stop anybody. Nobody was taking books. And this devotee, who was like a guest visiting, he said, "You're doing it all wrong. You know, it's really easy to distribute books. It's a very simple thing. You just look, I'll show you." And so he got books, and he couldn't stop anybody for almost an hour. And he got so frustrated that he sat down and he almost started crying. You know, he had like his head in his hand. He's like, "Ah." And he had his eyes closed. And when he opened his eyes, there was a little dog that was peeing on his leg. So Krishna just kind of showed, you know, don't get puffed up. Take the humble position. This is how we continue with the Sankirtan mission. This is how we continue chanting the holy names. Is by becoming humble, more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others and expect none in return. So that's all I have to say for now. Does anybody have any questions about what I spoke or anything about the verse or purport? Yes, Prabhu. In the purport, it's explained that if we get credit for ourselves,
in a purport, Prabhupada said, and if you perform your service, if you give credit to ourselves, then nothing, if you are like proud, nothing can be done nicely. So my question is other way around. If we do something, our service, but is not nicely performed, is that means then we are proud? If we do service and his service is not nicely performed, is that means then we are proud?
If we do,
you see, because statement is if we perform our service, but we does not give credit to Supreme Lord, is then in this way we cannot do nicely our service. So if we don't do our service nicely, we have some fault in our service. Is it a sign that we are proud? Okay. Do you understand my question?
Yes, I understand your question. Thank you. So, what is service? Service means to give pleasure to the person we're serving, right? So, if we're serving the spiritual master, we're serving Krishna, we should understand what gives them pleasure. It's not that we just do labor. You know, if you're washing pots for a few hours, that's necessarily service. In one sense, it is. Krishna accepts any tinge of, you know, intention of trying to do service for him. But if you're proud of that service, if you're puffed up, then it's not very pleasing to Krishna. So in that sense, even if you're doing everything externally nicely, but the person you're doing it for is displeased with your attitude, then the service, therefore, is not of the highest quality.
No, but still you didn't answer my question. Okay. Properly, my understanding is if you perform any service, but you don't do nicely that service, whatever it is, there's some fall in your service, is it a sign then you are proud?
Can you give an example?
Huh?
Can you give an example? Because I thought I answered it, but can you give an example of what you're talking about? Can you give an example of what you're talking about?
Okay, so for example, I'm deity service and I'm cooking for Krishna and I want to make some cake, but somehow cake was burned. You know, I was not attentive. So on any kind of service, you know, you do something just not a nice way, you make mistake. So is it that sign, because that is statement, then, you know, purport, then if you are humble and if you do everything nicely, in a humble state of mind, is it, then you are, any kind of service will be performed nicely. So an opposite way, if you don't do your service nice, like you cook something, you burn the cake, you know. Is it a sign in your consciousness you're doing something out of pride, so you're not aware, then you have to do very nicely for Krishna. So if you're not doing that, so has to be some kind of pride there in your consciousness. So this is my question. Is it always like that? Is it a sign of pride?
No.
This is why you don't do your service nicely.
I mean, obviously, I can't really quote anything, but from my understanding and maybe partial realization, we see like Srila Prabhupada, before he came to America, he tried many things to preach. that seemingly were unsuccessful. Like he started the League of Devotees in Jhansi. He was, you know, trying to do different types of preaching events that didn't really bear so much fruit. So does that mean he wasn't humble? Not necessarily. It could be that Krishna's teaching us a lesson for some reason. Archita Prabhu wants to say something on this matter. If I think of anything else, I'll say.
Hare Krishna, it's actually a good question. There are many, many examples. The first one is like, the first statement is that service is only service if it's authorized. In other words, whatever we do has to be authorized. We're not left to our own devices to do whatever we want and offer it as service to Krishna. So that connection has to be there. What we're doing in ISKCON is considered service because it's authorized by Srila Prabhupada, and he's a pure devotee. So we're actually following his instructions, offering the results to him, and he offers it to Krishna. Now, if you make a mistake, there are different examples. There's Vidura, who was in so much ecstasy when Krishna came to his place that he gave him banana peels instead of banana. So we know, if somebody gave you a banana peel to eat, you'd be upset. But Krishna accepted it because he knew the heart of Vidura. Vidura is a pure devotee, and just out of ecstasy, he was making that mistake. However, in this very same room, once Srila Prabhupada came to take Charanamrita. He would do that every day. He would come, greet the deities, then go over and take Charanamrita. He tasted it, and it was salty. Whoever made him put salt instead of sugar. And Prabhupada said, "Who has done this?" And when they told him who was, "She cannot do it anymore." It seemed extremely heavy. She made one mistake one day. But Prabhupada is making the point. When you are given a service, you concentrate. Don't try to, you know, artificially think of pastimes and whatnot. Concentrate on the service. We were told when we joined in Henry Street, when you're cutting sabji for Krishna, vegetables for Krishna sabji, concentrate. Don't cut your finger and put blood in Krishna sabji. In other words, whatever you're given to do, concentrate. That's your service. Concentrate on the service. Don't worry about anything else. As you said, it's being done for the pleasure, first of the spiritual master, and then that is offered up to Krishna. So that's our job, is just to concentrate.
Ready now? Nakama Prabhu, sorry.
Just to add to Archita Prabhu's comment, the answer in my mind would be yes and no. That simultaneously, that there has to be a proper attitude in devotional service. Pure devotional service means that we're free from karma, gyan, where there's no motive there. But at the same time, Krishna is also testing his pure devotees. So in my mind, it would be yes and no.
Yes, Bhakti, ready yet?
Thank you, Prabhu. So my question is, let's say you were the person who gave the book to the guy you met at the festival a long time ago, and then you guys met up again, and you see how that book you gave him really got him into the Hare Krishna movement and within the Hare Krishna consciousness. So would it be puffed up to be happy because of that, or would puffed up be like, oh yeah, I'm the best book distributor, or something like that?
No, it's okay to be happy. Huh? But yeah, that second example, that's not proper. But if you're happy, okay, cool. Someone became a devotee. Yeah, we want that to happen. Gotcha. That'll make us happy. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank
but you. It wasn't me. I didn't write the book. The book's not about me.
Yeah, okay. That's true.
Right. Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. So it's a reflection I have. After hearing your Sankirtan story, something came to me also, a memory came. When you met those persons who, you know, they were sent to you to enliven you, we take it like that all the time. So Srila Prabhupada says, fortunate is he who is so entrusted, and if he's always fixed in the sense of being subordinate to the will of the Supreme, he's sure to come out successful in the discharge of his work. And then he said, Arjuna was entrusted with the work of fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and therefore he was so entrusted
So the Lord had already arranged for his victory. So a lot of things happens like that, you know, in our daily activities, especially like when we're doing, you know, trying to convey our message to other people. We feel this is not going to work out. But we just carry on. So we are the fortunates. If we see that actually it is a privilege of me doing this. So one time happened that we were going in Harinam, and that particular day was not really happening. 3 or 4 devotees maybe, and then you feel like, well, what is the use? You know, your mind is tricking you. You forget about how fortunate you are to chant the holy name and being entrusted with that service. But the mind goes, oh no, what is the use? Nobody cares, nobody hears. So suddenly, at one point, when we're almost like, maybe we should just go back, this person comes and he said, you know, I have this job to do, and wouldn't you mind that I can video? And we have there was some, you know, lady, beautiful lady, young lady. He said, and she's going to be with you here chanting. And I thought, yeah, of course. So as soon as they came with the crew, hundreds of people were around. It's like they were so like into. And then we got so enlightened. When we were already like, what is the use? Let's go. So sometimes Krishna makes arrange certain situation in which, you know, to prove you that actually you don't know anything. You don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's... So we will be fortunate if we actually see it that way. That Krishna is in control.
Thank you very much for a nice class, Prabhu, and for the nice questions and comments that have come from different devotees. There seems to be a concern about being puffed up, you know, whether I'm arrogant, whether I'm egocentric, whether I'm condescending, or any of these things which make us feel that we're greater, bigger, grander than anyone else. So this is something we can avoid very easily. We have to start out with the idea that I'm nothing. I'm nobody. Zero. And God is everything. And any good that I have, any greatness I have, any perfection that I have, is not by my own doing, but by God's doing. He is perfect, and he lends me his perfection, and what I'm manifesting is God's perfection, and therefore why should I take any credit for it? And if I don't take any credit for it, where is the basis for being puffed up when it's not mine in the first place? If it's not mine, how can I be puffed up? And once I understand that all good, all greatness, all wonder, all amazement, all comes from Krishna. Once we have that position, and we're really tiny, won't you be more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of all prestige, etc. Once we have this sense of our reality, of where we stand, nothing, zero, but all greatness is coming from Krishna. And he gives it to us, he lends it to us, he can take it away from us, he can offer it to us, he can do whatever he wants to us, because we are surrendering ourselves to him and what he wants. Sometimes he wants to make us look bad. Sometimes he wants to make us look great. What is that for our concern? Our concern is only that we are doing the loving service and doing it with all our heart and soul, no matter how or what Krishna is giving us. That which looks great, that which looks bad, is irrelevant. What's only relevant is that I have an opportunity to lovingly serve Krishna, and that love comes from him, and I beg him to give it to me, so that even if I appear to do not so well, it doesn't really matter. What really matters is that I did it with love in my heart, with the very best that I could afford, the very greatest that Krishna enabled me. Is there anything more than we need than that? It's not how we look. It's how we feel, how we are, and how Krishna is interacting and interrelating with us. That's all. Okay? He said, thank you. I pray to you also. Yeah. Anybody else have anything you want to say? You want to meet me afterwards?
It's probably what my false ego is still speaking. Like what Maharaj said is kind of answering my question, but I still can't reconcile it in my head. Recently, I've heard that we're not a doer, like we know that, and it's kind of all over this purport that we're not a doer. And even with chanting the holy names, with our japa, we have to remember we're not a doer. But then what arises inside of me is, but Mother Yashoda, she tried to tie baby Krishna and two fingers too short. One finger represents our endeavor, and the second one is the mercy. So how about taking our part, the responsibility, the endeavor of the service, and especially with the chanting holy names, like that's what I cannot reconcile. Instead of it's all being mercy, I'm not a doer, like there's still a part of my endeavor there.
Maharaj, would you like to answer that?
Try to answer your point. There's two points of view. You say a person may think that he is the doer. I'm doing this, I'm putting my hands here, I'm doing that. But you have to take it back further. You can't talk, you can't walk, you can't speak, you can't do anything without Krishna's mercy. Okay? Once you come to that understanding, then even if you think you are the doer, you're not. That's your illusion. And when we come to the point that I can speak, I can think, I can feel, I can will, I can do, by Krishna's grace, this is a devotee mentality. A non-devotee mentality is that, well, what do I need Krishna for? I can walk, I can talk, I can do this, I can do that. So we have to understand that as far as being the doer goes, the devotee realizes that in the ultimate analysis, we do nothing. We can't breathe. We can't think. We can't feel. We can't do anything without his mercy. If he withdraws his mercy, you can't speak. Like I'm speaking now. If he withdraws his mercy, I have to shut up. I can't speak. And I've had that. I've even had a lecture, and I still remember that. And I was just saying to the audience, you know, if Krishna wanted to stop me from speaking, he could do that. There I was, stuttering all over the place. Yeah, this was an actual place, not Fullerton, but Placentia. Yeah, I still remember that. Well, you don't forget those kind of things. So everybody was starting to smile and laugh. I said, you see, here I was going along beautifully and smoothly and easily, and then suddenly, as I mentioned the point, that if Krishna doesn't want me to speak, he can stop. He did it. You see it? So, therefore, don't think you are ever the doer. In the ultimate analysis, he can be gracious, be kind, be sweet, be loving. He can also be harsh and tough and rough. And whatever we need, if we are totally depending upon him, surrendering to him, begging him, asking him to please enable us to serve him as he wishes to be served, not as we want to serve him, but as he wishes to be served, then he will enable us to serve him as he wants to be served, and he will congratulate us from within, and you will feel very, very blissful. But if you just want to do it as you want to, impose your idea of how Krishna should be served, well, that's a very egocentric, and it is not Krishna conscious. It is rather personal conscious. And what is the value of that?
So then if I'm understanding correctly, that even there is my endeavor, as Krishna gives us our own will, but it's all based on mercy. Like, I can't grow anything without the soil. So this is my soil, the mercy of Krishna. And then my will is to start chanting with his mercy.
You can either serve Krishna's will or serve your own will. If you believe that Krishna's will is higher, better, greater, bigger, more wonderful, then you beg him, please, I'm so egocentric, please enable me to serve you, and that's all I want. Otherwise, I will go ahead and just serve my own little sense and look for everyone to praise me, to honor me, to glorify me, to look up to me. This is not what devotional service is about. Devotional service is about giving glory, giving greatness, giving pleasure, giving satisfaction and fulfillment to the Lord. And when he's satisfied, you'll know it because you'll feel it in your heart. Simple as that. And if you've done a great job and everybody's saying this is wonderful, but you think that you're the doer, you will not feel that joy in the heart because Krishna is not pleased. Okay? And our business is only to please the Lord and not want anything for ourselves. Sometimes people would say to me, well, can't I have just a... I remember at one class in Florida, I heard this, well, can't I take just a little credit for myself? I said, why do you want to steal from Krishna? It belongs to him. So why do you want to take what belongs to him and call it yours? Because that's a thief. You want to be a thief? He says, no. Then why the question? And that was it. No, we just do the best we can. Sometimes you get praised. Sometimes you get honored. Sometimes you get applauded. Sometimes you get looked up to. And sometimes you get all the opposite. It doesn't matter what the... Krishna says over and over again in the Bhagavad Gita, don't worry about the result. Worry about the love in your heart that's flowing out of you to me and receive from me in reciprocation to you my appreciation. And if you get my appreciation, you'll feel strong, you'll feel firm, you'll feel capable, you'll feel enabled, and you won't have any anxiety and uncertainty. Doubt. These things come as a result of too much self-consciousness, too much desire to look good, to look great, to look wonderful. You know, if we're too much concerned about ourselves and not enough again of Krishna, then that's not Krishna conscious. It's like you were saying before, you felt anxiety. Anxiety is that you won't look good, you won't look wonderful, you won't be praised, you won't be honored, you won't be applauded. So what? So what? What difference does it make? You try your very best. And you beg Krishna to give you his best to manifest. And if he does fine, and if he doesn't fine, whatever he does is always good. And if we're thinking like that, that Krishna has heard me, what more can we ask for? We should not be thinking about our greatness, but always Krishna's greatness. And then you don't have any problems. The basis of all problems is, am I doing good? Do I look good? Am I beautiful? Am I loving? Am I making a good impression? These are not for a devotee. Devotee just does it. Sometimes, you know, he gets cut up. Sometimes he gets praised and people put flowers on him. Those are irrelevant. The relevancy is it all belongs to Krishna because he's the one who's put me in this room today, right now, to speak now. And I don't have to say anything, but I felt that I should. We're putting the emphasis in the wrong place. Put the emphasis on pleasing Krishna, satisfying Krishna, being Krishna's servant. Servant means little, small, insignificant. Yes, be that. And if we can, because we want to be big, we want to be great. We've been taught since the time we were young that you should be big, you should be great. Yeah, you can become a hero, but the real hero in our mind is who? Is Krishna, manifesting. And if you understand that, you don't have any problems. All our problems come from, like person says, you know, I did that. And then I said, no, I don't think you did it, but this person, he did that. No, I did. And it gets into an argument because he wants to be thought of as great and wonderful and glorious and laudable like that. It doesn't matter. because only Krishna is great. And we are nobody and nothing without his greatness imposed upon us, which makes us appear great, but it's really his greatness. And if we try to remember that always, we won't have any problems.
Hare Krishna, very nice class, Prabhu. I won't take too long. I just wanted to add on to Prabhu's question. He was saying how, is it okay to be happy like when you make a devotee or to feel puffed up? So I think it is important to feel happy because that soul has finally awakened and has finally realized who Krishna is, who he is, that he's not this body, he's the soul. So it's very important to feel happy in that regard. But we should remember not to feel puffed up, because just like Maharaj was saying, that everything is Krishna's greatness. If you're feeling puffed up, then there's still a lot of anarthas present. Like, we should not feel that, oh, it is because of me he became a devotee. It is because of me that he knows how to put tilak on, that he knows how to tie a dhoti. I did all that. He's my creation. Like, that's completely wrong mentality. So we should always remember not just Krishna's mercy, but even the mercy of the guru. We always have to remember that it's all the mercy of the guru, of the devotees, and of Srila Prabhupada's great movement. That's it.